Hey, Tony, the voice on the phone said. It took Bertano a second to recognize it. Where are you now, Al? The Secretary of Defense asked. Norfolk, didn't you know? I'm on USS Gettysburg upgrading their SAMs. It was your idea, wasn't it? Well, yeah, I suppose it was. You must have seen this Chinese thing coming a long way off, man. What do you mean? I mean, if the Chi-Coms loft an ICBM at us, this Aegis system does give us something to fall back on if the computer simulations are right. So you're confident in your systems? A full-up test would be nice, but yeah, I think it ought to work. Al, let me get back to you, okay? Yes, sir. In his office, Bertano switched buttons. Admiral Seaton, Tony Bertano. There's a former employee of mine in Norfolk right now. I set him up to look at upgrading the Aegis missile system to engage ballistic targets. He says he's ready for a full-up test. But, Admiral, what if the Chinese launch one of their CSS-4s at us? It wouldn't be good. Then how about we take our Aegis ships and put them close to the likely targets? Aye, aye, sir. Gettysburg first. Have her load up what missile she needs and bring her right here, Bertano ordered. So, they're turning me loose? Wallace asked. As soon as contact is imminent between Russian and Chinese ground forces. Mickey Moore gave him his targets. It's most of the things you wanted to hit, Gus. Giusti's reconnaissance troopers were now within 20 miles of the expected Chinese positions. That put them inside artillery range. The mission was to find a hole in the Chinese positions for the division to exploit. The secondary objective was to shoot through the gap and break into the Chinese logistical area, just over the river from where they'd made their breakthrough. The Bradleys started off, leading the heavier main battle tanks off to the enemy. The squadron's helicopters were up, all 16 of them. The OH-58D Kiowa Warriors moved forward, using their night vision equipment to sweep the ground ahead. Division headquarters had its own Dark Star terminal set up with an Air Force captain running it. Diggs didn't like being in the rear with his men going in harm's way, but the best way for him to mitigate the danger to them was to stay here and establish effective control over operations, along with Colonel Masterman. Cook stoves? Masterman asked. Yep, the USAF captain, his name was Frank Williams, agreed. And these bright ones are campfires. Got a hole in their lines? Looks thin right here between these two hills. They have a company on this hilltop and another company here. The gap between them looks like a little more than a kilometer, but there's a little stream at the bottom.
Bradleys don't mind getting a little wet. Duke? Best bet for a blow-through I've seen so far.
Aim Angelo for it?
Roger, Diggs called.
Colonel Roger Ardan was his divisional artillery commander, Gunfighter 6 on the divisional radio net. A tall, thin man, rather like a not-tall-enough basketball player.
Yes, sir?
Here's your first fire mission. We're going to shoot Angelo Giusti through this gap.
Enemy artillery?
Some 122s here.
What about radars? Colonel Ardan asked.
Maybe one here, but it's under camo nets.
Put a pin in it, Ardan said.
Yes, sir. Print up a target list?
You bet, son.
Here you go.
How the hell did we ever survive without GPS and overheads? Ardan wondered aloud.
Okay, General, when?
Call it 30 minutes.
We'll be ready.
First Armored had a beefed-up artillery brigade. A transmission over the Joint Tactical Information Distribution System, or JTIDS, told them the locations of their targets, and onboard computers computed azimuth and range to them. Their readiness was radioed back to the divisional HQ.
All set, sir, Colonel Ardan reported.
Okay, we'll wait to see how Angelo's doing.
Your screen is right here,
Captain Williams told the senior officers. For him, it was like being in a skybox at a football game, except that one team didn't know he was there and didn't know the other team was on the field as well.
Ivis is up, the track commander called.
Colonel Giusti ducked down and twisted around the gun turret structure to see where the sergeant was sitting.
First enemy post is right over there, sir, at 11 o'clock, behind this little rise, the sergeant said, tapping the screen.
Well, let's go say hi.
Roger that, Colonel.
How are things up north? Diggs asked Captain Williams.
Let's see.
The captain switched over to the take from Grace Kelly.
The leading Chinese elements are within 15 clicks of the Russians. They're settled in for the night. Looks like we'll be in contact first.
Back to Miss Monroe.
Here's your leading cavalry element, 2 clicks from John Chinaman's first hole in the ground.
The camera zoomed in to isolate the hole. There were 2 men there. Giusti's track was coming in from their left. Diggs was sure that Giusti's gunner could see them now.
There! The muzzle of the 25mm chain gun flashed, and there was a line of the tracers streaking to the hole.
And the 2 grunts were dead.
Diggs turned. Gunfighter, commence firing.
Fire, Colonel Ardan said into his microphone.
Moments later, the ground shook under their feet, and more than 90 shells started arcing into the air. Captain Williams switched Maryland's focus to the enemy command post. The effects were horrific. The 6 tents there evaporated, and the glowing green stick figures of human beings fell flat and stopped moving.
Whoa, Williams observed. Stir fry.
Lord have mercy, Colonel Ardan observed in a whisper.
The 2 infantry companies on the hilltops north and south of the Little Pass were clobbered by a full battery each. With the regimental CP down, things might get a little confusing for the divisional commander.
Captain, do we know where the enemy's divisional CP is yet?
Probably right here, sir. There's a bunch of trucks. Show me on a map.
The CP was just in range of his MLRS batteries.
Gunfighter, I want this hit right now.
Yes, sir.
And the command went out over JTIDs. It was just a matter of pushing the red firing button, and all 9 vehicles unleashed their 12 rockets each. The division was thoroughly decapitated. After the initial fire, Lieutenant Colonel Giusti found that he had no targets. He sent 1 troop through the gap. 20 minutes after the initial barrage, the leading elements of 1st Brigade came into view. He waited until they were within 100 meters before pulling off to the east to rejoin his squadron in the valley. He was now technically inside enemy lines.